Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The show, sponsored by Straight Realty, your St. Louis area experts. Why pay more than four? 314-441-4444.
KMOX, Chris Ranji, Amy Mark scores, Kevin Wheeler with you here, obviously covering breaking news. Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision, and we'll be spending a lot of time reacting to that today, reaching out to guests, bringing in some of our own in-house guests, and of course, including you guys in the conversation as well. 314-436-7900 is the number you can use to send us a text. 314-944-1120 if you want to send us a voicemail. So much ground to cover on this, and I know we had a bit of a warm-up on this when the leaks came out, and we had a lot of thoughts and a lot of conversations that are going to be similar to the ones that are happening right now. And we were talking about this in the office. Amy, is there anything right off the top that just stands out to you?
Well, as far as the decision goes, no, I actually wasn't sure that they would come down with this decision today because there had been talk about adding an additional day to release these decisions. And when you have something of this magnitude, you talk about it for so long. The conversation of overturning Roe has been going on for so long that it kind of feels like the conversation will continue in perpetuity, but nothing, it wouldn't actually happen. When the leak happened, I think there was that shock that, oh my gosh, this is actually moving forward. And so not a huge surprise if assuming that the decision and the opinion written by Alito was leaked and that it came out. I think if anything, I'm just surprised it happened today for some reason, but that just might be me because it's weird to think that it happened.
So we also have John Hancock and Michael Kelly kind enough to hang out with us here at the beginning of the show. A lot of angles on this. I mean, again, we got a warm-up run. So, John, first off, I heard you guys get a little bit into this, but we had a lot of the national coverage last hour. What's the first thing that comes to mind for you that now that this is a reality, that this has happened, it's no longer just a conversation?
Well, I think we knew.
Hold on a second. We don't have John's mic working. For whatever reason, we're pushing the button. It's not happening. So switch over. There you go, John. So jump on there and we'll get your take on this first, and then we'll go to Michael after.
Well, this is not a surprise. And really, even at the time when Coney Barrett was confirmed, it was pretty clear that there were cases in the pipeline. The court was going to take them, and it was clear that there was a majority to overturn Roe on the court. So many states prepared for this by passing these trigger laws, Missouri one of them. Abortion is now illegal in the state of Missouri just moments after the ruling was announced. It's going to have political implications, obviously. This is an issue that's going to leap to the forefront of the political discourse between now and November. Remains to be seen, I think, whether this will be a decisive issue at the polls in November, but it certainly could be.
I definitely believe it's going to be a decisive issue, and I will further tell you that abortion is illegal in the state of Missouri, including in the cases of rape and incest. The trigger law that the Republicans passed here in Missouri is quite draconian and really sad. You're exactly right, guys. We knew that this was likely coming. I guess the reality of it is now settling in. And I concur with John completely to say that I think that the November elections will be completely about this. And I'm not sure that's a positive for the Republicans, who typically would do well in an off-cycle election, because this is an overwhelmingly unpopular decision by the United States Supreme Court.
Is this something, though, that I feel like we have gotten into this place in this country where when time passes, people kind of forget about stuff? I don't know if this is one of those issues, but we're still 4+ months away from the election. Do you think there's possibility that people right now who are upset about it, by the time we get there, are like,
no.
eh, you know, it happened.
Look, for nearly 30, well, almost 50 years now, this law has been in place. This has been one of the focal points of nearly every election that's taken place. Both John and I have worked for our respective candidates pushing our side of this narrative. I don't think any of us ever thought this day of overturning it would come. I don't anticipate that suddenly, because we've had a change 50 years later, that suddenly people are going to become numb to it and go on. I think this will continue to be a forefront issue in elections. And I think the energy just shifted from the Republican side to the Democratic side.
Well, I think, Chris, it's an excellent question, because I don't think we know at this point whether this is going to be the be-all and end-all issue come November. What we know about voting patterns on abortion is that the passion has been on the pro-life side. Though that has been a motivating, driving factor for voters for a very, very long time. Now that Roe has been overturned, I think you might conclude, and I think properly conclude, that the left is going to become more energized on the issue. Now, the question becomes, what percentage of the population is going to place abortion as their preeminent decision maker in the context of a country that's mired in inflation and political divisiveness, right, and other factors that are out there? And we just don't know the answer to that. We know that public opinion, the majority of public opinion, would support keeping Roe in place. I mean, we've seen those surveys. Those surveys are accurate. But that doesn't mean that 60-some percent of the public is going to go to the polls and vote simply because of the abortion issue. We just don't know that yet.
Yeah, and as what we see is Roe being overturned, and we've looked at Roe. I mean, I go back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who understood the limits of the power of the judiciary, and she said that the Roe decision was, quote, breathtaking in scope, and because it was so sweeping that it was fundamentally unstable, which is why it has been debated for so long. Obviously, with Roe being overturned, the issue of abortion goes back to the states, back to the state legislatures. We have states like Missouri that have trigger laws in place. You have states like New York where abortion will still be very much available. What's interesting is how will the people of the states respond? Because while we do have a pro-choice culture, I don't think we have a pro-abortion culture, because I do think there is a difference. You see those, I've seen billboards that say, you know, celebrate your abortion, and those who are very extreme who want abortion without limits. I don't think that's the vast majority. Most Americans are pro-choice with restrictions on abortions. And then you have those who are pro-life. What does that look like at the polls? Because I think there are people who want restrictions on abortions, but they also don't want heartbeat laws. They feel like that's too extreme, and I don't know what that looks like when the voters show up.
So what's next? I mean, clearly we're going to have some discord. We're clearly going to have protest. We're going to have a lot of conversation, calm conversation, but also not so calm conversation.
Right.
What's the following step? I mean, because clearly anybody that would like to change this, and it's going to have to be at the state level based on this ruling. Otherwise, we're going to have to wait for another Supreme Court case somewhere way down the road to get back into the federal range. So how fast, how slow, what are the next steps from the state perspective? Not so much because in terms of enacting the restrictions, because as you mentioned, there are trigger laws in a lot of places, but for those that might want to act in the other direction.
Yeah, so I think history is instructive here. The pro-life community realized 20-some years ago that the law, you could start to chip away. You could start to ban the late-term abortions, the so-called partial birth abortions. And I think what you're going to see now, that this is going to be a public policy matter decided at the states, is that the law is going to begin to comport to public opinion. So I think you will see some efforts to allow abortion in cases of rape and incest, for example. And those will become issues that states are going to decide. And I believe the policy ultimately is going to reflect where public opinion is, better than perhaps it does now, better than it did under Roe, and better than it does now. And you know, if you're a conservative, I'm a conservative, I believe this is a public policy matter that ought to be decided, and public opinion will inform that.
There was a fear a while ago that this was going to happen, and then you had those who tried to calm those fears and say, no, just because we have a conservative Supreme Court, this isn't necessarily the next logical step. Well, now you have people who are concerned that once this law is overturned, and it is, that contraception is next, and that maybe there's momentum to head that direction and have maybe even more extreme measures which are even less popular. How likely is it that we get to that place?
Well, you do have a Supreme Court justice in Clarence Thomas who did file a concurring opposing view, saying that this is the construct that ought to be used to review same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
So from my side of the aisle, I truly believe that this is a court that will ultimately maybe tackle some of that stuff and will push a minority position on the majority of us.
Yeah, I will say, Michael, I was surprised by Thomas saying that, quote, in future cases, we should reconsider all of the court's substantive due process precedents, including Griswold, Lawrence, and Obergefell. Griswold being contraception, Lawrence a sodomy case, and Obergefell gay marriage. And Thomas wrote that in the concurring opinion. And I find that very concerning.
And it's not lost on me that several of these folks just got confirmed in the last several years and said they had no intention of overturning this.
Right.
They actually did the exact opposite of what they said they were going to do in their hearings.
Settled law, for example.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, we've got business to take care of here. We're going to pick this up on the other side. Of course, Amy, Chris, and Kevin with you. John Hancock, Michael Kelly with us as well. Breaking down the breaking news today. The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade. We'll have more on that as we continue through the day on KMOX. Friday on the show on KMOX, Chris Ranji, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. John Hancock, Michael Kelly, kind enough to continue with us as we continue to break down the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. And, this is something we briefly touched on earlier, but and we'll start with Michael here. I'm 50 years old. I never thought that this was even going to be seriously challenged. I always thought it was a political tool to get people fired up, to make them emotional enough to go out and vote either in primaries or midterms or presidential elections. I never really thought it would get to this. Was that just wrongheaded all along, or have things changed?
No, I never thought it would get to this either.
Okay.
Look, I grew up Catholic. Obviously, this has been one of the driving issues of our faith. I have been shocked watching the response from my own family and friends who've grown up Catholic, who are deeply offended by this. I think all of us, we talked earlier about abortion wanting to be rare and safe. That's always been a conversation that I've heard Hillary Clinton and others make. And now we're in a place where that if your child has been raped by her father right here in the state of Missouri at 13 years old and becomes pregnant, you cannot abort that baby. And this is just absurd discourse that's taking place, and I'm shocked by the reaction that I'm seeing from a lot of my friends who I think would have qualified themselves as pro-life in the past.
John, same thing. I mean, obviously, it's been a political football. It has been a motivator, and you touched on in the last segment, like, what that could mean moving forward.
Right, right.
But did even the most ardent supporters of this kind of change actually believe that it was going to happen?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah, because it's, the Supreme Court is a matter of who gets appointed and who gets confirmed. And Roe is as constitutional law.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're going to find all kinds of legal experts on the right and even not on the right who will tell you that Roe was bad constitutional law. Why? Because it was legislating. If you go back and read that opinion, they didn't cite a particular right to privacy that exists in the Constitution because it isn't there. What they did was created what they called a penumbra of rights, and they picked a little bit from the Ninth Amendment and a little bit. And And it's just not constitutional law. And what they did in that decision, in that opinion back in 1973, is they laid out a statutory guideline for what should be illegal and what states would have the ability to regulate abortion beyond that. They created it. So as a matter of constitutional law, I think this is a proper decision. Now, to Michael's point, he is correct that there are going to be some aspects of this in its implementation that people are going to find repugnant. And I believe that public opinion is going to drive the policy going forward.
And just to build on what John said, again, I'm going back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg to say that, yes, Roe was breathtaking in scope. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, when referring to Roe, quoted Oliver Wendell Holmes that said, doctrinal limbs, when they are swiftly shaped, they're unstable. And this is from Oliver Wendell Holmes, who believed that sometimes the courts do legislate. And even Ginsburg said, again, that what Roe actually did was take that decision out of the hands of the people, out of the legislatures. Overturning Roe technically is handing it back to the people.
I guess what I'm, but I don't know if that necessarily makes the law wrong, does it? It doesn't make Roe, the original decision, doesn't necessarily make it wrong if the scope of it was so great, right?
Well,
I mean, we can't just say, well, this was such a huge decision, it's unstable. Yes, that doesn't mean it's inherently wrong.
She's saying that the court overstepped the limits of the judiciary.
Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Outside of this, though?
Sure.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of landmark decisions. Plessy versus Ferguson was overturned by the Brown versus the Board of Education. I mean, you've had, so this is not unique. It is historic and it's huge, but it's not unique. And you could take the construct in Roe, for example, and Congress could pass that as a law. This court would rule that that's the law of the land. They wouldn't overturn a congressionally passed law that guarantees a right to abortion.
Well, they would hope they wouldn't.
Well, they wouldn't.
Some of us think they're pushing an agenda, John. When they would go and lie in their Supreme Court hearing confirmations, what's to make you think that they would uphold the law if it was passed by the Congress?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not surprised that any of these justices, of what their opinion is of the constitutional law of Roe. So you can take abortion, and we all have strong feelings on abortion. The question at hand here, though, is there a fundamental right to privacy in the United States Constitution that guarantees the right to an abortion? And a majority of the court ruled today that that doesn't exist.
And John, because you're saying that the court ruled that that doesn't exist, let's apply this to Obergefell, gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why, in your mind, are those two things different?
Well, they could be, because there you can make a very plausible equal protection law under the 14th Amendment, equal protection clause, that if marriage is allowed, it ought to be allowed for everybody, regardless of circumstances. Now, so there is no equal protection situation as it relates to Roe. It was never part of what the justices cited back in 1973. So it's those two cases are different constitutionally.
I know we've mentioned already that this decision is very unpopular, and CBS News did a poll just last month that said 2/3 of the American public wanted to keep it in place. At what point should public opinion matter on cases like this?
On cases like this,
Public
opinion shouldn't matter at all. It's the constitutional, it's the interpretation of the Constitution, which is what the Supreme Court does. They should be deaf, dumb, and blind to public opinion.
They are that.
Well, no, I mean, I think where public opinion would come in is in
the lawmaking.
Is electing people that will put forth the legislation that you want. What I also find interesting in this, too, though, is that I don't know of any opposition to abortion that comes from a non-religious place. It comes from that. And there are a lot of religions that do not have those same beliefs when it comes to it. How do we balance that? Because there's a dynamic there, because I'm not a big fan of people's religious beliefs being pushed onto others. And I know that's not what this law is about. That's what will matter when we're coming to making new laws in the states and all of that.
And I would just push back gently that I do. I do know people who are pro-life from a medical standpoint, from their beliefs that are separate from religious, that they're non-religious. I would say I am pro-life. And in your arguments that I would make in the public square for being pro-life are non-religious.
So it's all about life. The fact that there's a life there, it should be able to live. So then you would obviously be opposed to the death penalty as well.
No, because whenever people ask me that, they're like, why are you okay with killing a convicted murderer, but you're not okay with killing a baby? And I say, well, because one's a convicted murderer and the other one's a baby.
But we've seen plenty of cases where they got the wrong person.
We can't. You can say that.
I mean,
and
overzealous prosecution's a problem, and we don't have the safeguard for that.
Does that still change my belief that a convicted murderer, under rare circumstances, which it is in this country, is deserving of the death penalty? No, it doesn't. Do I think that?
Wait, which part is rare? That an innocent person?
Both the death penalty and the innocent person. And do I think that this is relevant to the conversation at hand? Pretty much. But yeah, I mean, I definitely still stand for capital punishment. It's look at how many people were put to death in this country, and then it's pretty small and rare circumstances. And I think most people tend to be, just as a side note, anti-death penalty until they're not, such as like the synagogue shooting, where you see people wanting to make exceptions.
Pick up the conversation after the news here on KMOX. All right, you're listening to the show on KMOX. Amy Marks, of course, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler with you here. You are welcome to join us. We'll open up the phone lines. And you can also use this same line for sending us text messages as well if you're not able to stay on hold or you just don't like to go on the air. 314-436-7900 works for both a phone call and a text. We'll open up those lines for phone calls here in a few minutes. And you can always leave us a voicemail at 314-944-1120. Many thanks to John Hancock and Michael Kelly for joining us. A lot of different angles there, both from the policy standpoint and the upcoming political standpoint. Amy, we got to do this. We had this conversation, and you said some really, really smart and heartfelt things when the news leaked about this a while back. And I'm not really asking you to kind of restate mm-hmm. all of that, but you had really interesting thoughts then about this decision, what it's going to do to the country, what it's doing to people on both sides of the issue. And we talked a little bit about it pre-show. So if you want to do like a, I don't know, just a smaller version for people that didn't hear you, because I thought the way that you framed it was really, really good.
Well, so people know I am pro-life and strongly pro-life. And I felt this way about this leak a while ago, weeks ago. And it's interesting today. My heart is very heavy. It's very heavy. And it hurts because while I am pro-life, and I do feel that Roe was decided erroneously and that this issue should be handed back to the people, it is a very, very somber issue, and it's painful for so many people, for so many women who are pro-life and pro-choice. Obviously, I do believe that abortion is killing an unborn child. I also have dear, dear friends who are, you know, very pro-choice, and women who are in a position that they're considering abortion are often in horrible circumstances, are struggling, feel alone. I can't imagine that amount of loneliness. Some have been violated in a way that is just devastating to me. And it's such a emotional conversation. And I think when you add together all of those elements of unborn lives and then women who are struggling and then the division in this country and how we don't necessarily respond greatly to these things, it can bring out the ugliness, it can bring out hate and vitriol and violence. My heart hurts for that. So it's kind of a strange mix of emotions that I have right now. I'm praying for our country and it will be interesting to see how it plays out over the next couple of days. But I think those who are, I wish I could say that those who are on both sides, whether you're on pro-choice or pro-life, and I do want to differentiate between pro-abortion and pro-choice, because I think many pro-choice Americans understand that abortion is not your best option, you know, that it's not something they celebrate and it's not something that they want without restrictions. I think we've seen the polls that most Americans want some restrictions on abortions, but that we now take steps. How do we help, especially if you're in the pro-life camp, how do you help women in difficult situations? If you are going to say that abortion, you know, is wrong, and in states like Missouri, the trigger laws are now in effect. Now, granted, it was difficult to get an abortion in Missouri before. There was only one abortion clinic. But if you're going to say, okay, that is done, we need to do everything we can through crisis pregnancy clinics, through our legislature, to help women who are in difficult situations. And that could even mean child support and medical help from the moment of conception. Because if you are a legislator in Missouri and you believe that there's life at the point of conception, then let's start moving forward from that point to help women as much as possible. Medical needs, housing, shelter, safety, legal help, anything that they will need. And again, I hope people have tender hearts in this issue, because it's very emotional for everybody.
And I agree with you that if we're going to do this, if we are going to tell people, sorry, you're going to have to carry this to term and you have to deal with whatever happens after, I hope you're right that we will say, we're going to help you then. We're going to, as a society, take care of you. But I think that it's already been pretty clear that there is not a good appetite for that. A lot of times from people who are pro-life, they want you to carry the thing to term and they want you to have the baby. And then when that is done, they don't like handouts. They don't want you to have assistance. They think, SNAP cards are costing us too much money per year. They don't like welfare. That bothers them. Well, that to me is a very inconsistent position, because if you care about that life, you care about that life after it is born as well. You don't just care about it until that point. And I also think that a lot of what you're saying actually, it kind of confirms my position of pro-choice. You know, you're talking about the difficulty of making that decision and how a woman can feel lonely when she's in a position that she has to make this decision. That's exactly why I shouldn't get to make it for her. That's why she should get to make that decision. Not me, not you, not Kevin, not anybody in this room, not a legislator. Nobody should get to make that decision for somebody else. It is a difficult, painful decision I can't imagine there's a person on earth that's like, woo, let's go get an abortion today. It's going to be a great day. Not one person has ever done that. It is a very heartbreaking, painful decision for a person to have to make. Well, and that's why it is not our place to make it for them.
And I think, again, And that's a position that I respect. We're coming from different baselines here, in the sense that, right, if you do not believe an unborn child is a life, you know, and see it as a fetus or as part of a body, then that is that woman's decision to make. If you see it as a life, right, and as a person, then you don't see it as a woman just making a choice about her body, but about like a person, you know, the personhood. When do the rights of the Constitution apply to that personhood? It's interesting, because I'm a little surprised there's not a more medical approach to this. Do you know what I mean? We don't have necessarily...
It's because there is some disagreement as to when you cross the line from one thing to another. Where you cross the line from a cluster of cells to human being, there is disagreement on that.
But even, let's say, if there were abortion restrictions, I think a lot of the medical community can agree on a general time of viability, right? Or you know, the baby able to survive outside the mother's body, whatever it is. Sometimes I'm surprised it's not more of a medical conversation.
But that's where what most people are in favor of restrictions, right?
And that's
it's because
where most
of that.
People are, in favor of restrictions. So if that's where most people fall, I wish that conversation would perhaps happen more often. I think, as John Hancock brought up, when we start making laws that perhaps cannot stand on their own because they're too extreme, whether it is no restrictions on abortions all the way through 9 months. Most Americans don't support that. Also, from the moment of conception or even heartbeat bills, the majority of Americans don't support that. So there has to be a conversation happening in the middle. I think what we're going to have to figure out is what this looks like, what overturning Roe looks like in a pro-choice society. And then that's kind of how I operate, is I'm a pro-life person in an overwhelmingly pro-choice society. What does that look like?
We've got more of your call on more of your calls. We've got some of your calls coming up. More thoughts on this, obviously, continuing coverage on today's Supreme Court decision overturning Roe v. Wade. All right, it's the show on KMOX. Chris Raunchy, Amy Marks, of course, Kevin Wheeler with you here. We are going to be including, starting now, your reaction to the news of the day, which is, of course, the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. You can join us by calling 314-436-7900. You can text at that same number, 314-436-7900. You can also leave us voicemails if you don't want to stay on hold or can't. It's 314-944-1120. Let's see. Let's get John into the mix here. I'm not sure if that's working or not. Let's go to John on the phone lines. John, thank you for calling KMOX.
Well, thank you. It's been an excellent discussion. The legal work is above my mind, but it was interesting hearing all kinds of views on that. I basically have two comments regarding the issue of abortion. What I don't understand is all these women who protest against people saying, this is my body, this is my right, nobody can silence me. And then I think to myself, well, how many voices have you silenced? If you're so pro-woman, pro my body, my right, where is the voice of the unborn being heard? You're silencing them. So your argument just doesn't make sense. And number two, throughout the whole discussion this morning, I never heard the word adoption. Yes, I do feel for these people. And yes, I thoroughly agree with you that there needs to be assistance. But there's also the option of adoption.
Well, so, I, on that last part, there are over 100,000 kids right now waiting to be adopted. And they don't have homes. They don't have people that have brought them in. So I'm not sure that, I mean, I think that adoption is a great thing, by the way. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. It's a great idea if it's viable. But, I mean, we're talking about a situation that already has
right.
a backlog.
I mean,
not exactly a solution to an immediate problem that a woman is facing.
Well, I would just have to push back a little bit. Adoption is always an option, because I would never tell a kid, listen, you're way far back in the line. You're never going to get adopted anyway, so you might as well just end your life before it begins. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you have to be careful with that. I think adoption is always an option.
So say that number becomes 300,000 or 400,000.
But I don't understand. Are you making the argument
I'm not saying that you would end that life? I'm saying that that's where it comes into being a decision.
If he believes it's not you believe it's one.
That's the disagreement that we have, and there's a reason why this issue exists. Because as a society, we do not agree on that basic fact on when you become a person versus when you are a part of another person.
And we are never going to reach a consensus on that.
I think that's
never.
We have not so far.
I can't imagine a time in history, unless it's 1,000 years from now, where we're going to reach a consensus on when a life is actually a life.
Yes, and when we talk about this, I think that's part of the thing that is difficult. We were touching on it briefly during the break, and I don't think there's an answer on this. I mean, that's kind of the point. But the reason this is an issue is because there's disagreement on that fundamental part of this issue. If we agreed that at this point, whatever day or week we're talking about in a woman's pregnancy, that the transition is made from a human life or from something being a part of someone else's body to its own body, to its own life, if we had that agreement, I don't think we even have this issue, or at least we don't have it to the same degree that we do. It's that fundamental disagreement that makes the debate happen.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, again, there could be more medical discussion, and that is why for a long time partial birth abortion was condemned by both parties, right?
Yeah, it
was,
and I think that generally is condemned by probably 90% of people that are asked.
Yeah, and I do want to say as well, again, there's so many angles to this.
Yeah.
Adoption is such a wonderful option, you know, if you're looking for options. And then also, I've talked about, and Ranj brought it up too, that there are often Republican politicians who don't seem to pursue with the same fervor helping women who remain pregnant and decide to carry the baby through term. There's not that same fervor to help them as there is just, you know, to proclaim that you're pro-life. But I did want to say, stand up for the private organizations, whether it's churches or, you know, pro-life centers, crisis centers, and the incredible work that they do.
Oh, there's no question about that. But we need institutional help.
It's not
good enough to just have private organizations, and they should be commended for what they do. If you are a private church or an organization that does help women after a child is born, great. That's wonderful, wonderful work, and we need that. But to truly make a difference, to truly make a dent in the problem, it has to be institutional.
Yeah.
And one of my main issues is we have people who are politicians mm-hmm. who really don't care about this, except for the fact it is good for them politically, and they know that. So once this issue has been handled, they're not too worried about a person once they are born. They don't really care about helping that
I wouldn't go
individual.
As far as to say they don't care, but they haven't shown a willingness to enact
well,
the
policies. Well, to me, that'd be, if you don't, then they don't care enough. How about that?
That's fair.
Fine.
That's fair. Jeff is on the phone lines next up. Thanks for calling, Jeff.
Hey, they say 60 million babies have been aborted. Now, don't you think it only makes sense that one of them 60 million would have cured cancer? One of them 60 million would have cured AIDS. One of them 60 million would have cured Alzheimer's, diabetes. You name it. We've killed these babies that could have cured all the diseases that we have to deal with now. And it is a woman's right to do whatever she wants with her body. However, I think it is extremely irresponsible to get pregnant and not want a kid. So where's the responsibility in it?
Well, that's with a man and a woman, and the man's a part of it, but the man doesn't have to carry the pregnancy. And how many times do we see it's not an option for the woman to just walk away? There are guys that walk away. I don't want to be a part of this. Good luck. See you later.
Yep.
I mean, it happens. It may not be 100% of the time. It may not be 80%. I don't know what the percentage is, but it happens. That is not an option for the woman who ends up pregnant. They can't just walk away, but men do. And they are every bit as much a part of that situation as the woman is. And I think we can't, I don't think we can get it. And we also don't need to get into hypotheticals, too, because you could also make the argument that if you don't send 18-year-olds off to war, some of them could have gone on to college and cured cancer. It's just speculation. If you want to make the argument based on saving lives, just make that and don't try to get into the speculation.
You can make the argument one of the 60 million grows up to be a mass murderer too.
And can I? And again,
which is they're all silly arguments.
Yes.
And can I say this again as someone who is very pro-life and I have someone who went to Jeff City as a concerned constituent in favor of a 24-hour waiting period for abortion, because I thought, you know, with everything else that you do, all these, you know, elective surgeries and things like that, major medical operations, you have a waiting period to think about, make sure you can process what's being done. So I understand that even giving a woman 24 hours to think about it may give her more time. So I am very pro-life. But if you are a man who is exhibiting that much anger towards women, I would say you as a man can have sex with 100 women and you can make 100 babies, but that woman, if she has sex with 100 men, is only going to have one baby a year. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We're putting all the onus on women when literally men are a huge part of this equation. So to leverage that much anger at these women, to me, is incomprehensible.
Yeah, and again, the responsibility is on both people involved. We can't just make it out to be that the person that who can biologically bear a child is the one that bears all of the weight for the decisions that are happening here. And none of this is ideal, by the way. And look, none of us think that this is an easy issue. Nobody thinks that this is simple. And when we get answers like that, that are oversimplifications or kind of like a false logic, it's not helping the conversation, because all it's going to do is create more exaggerated pushback, right? Like the fact that we have to discuss, well, that person could have cured cancer. And as Ranji pointed out, that person could also become a dictator, could also become a serial. We just don't know. And it's not a matter of whether that's right or wrong. The fact is we just can't know. It's complete and total speculation. You can't assume that one of those things would happen. I mean, we've had how many human beings cross the this planet over the course of time? I mean, we're at, what, 8 billion on the planet right now? And we're, I mean, that's a really small percentage. I don't think that that's the argument. There are much better ones if you want to make those arguments. And obviously, we're going to hear more of those with your calls at 314-436-7900. You can leave a voicemail, 314-944-1120. Obviously, you can text us to the 436-7900 number as well. And we'll also continue to get opinions on the legal side of this. In fact, that's what we're going to do with Thane Rosenbaum from CBS News when we come back from the top of the news on KMOX.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.